Warning! This program will contain massive spoilers and profanity for absolutely everything we discuss. Consider yourself warned.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chilling Amongst the Mangoes, the sticky... Fuck!
Wow, okay, come on. Third time's the charm.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chilling... Hello, everybody, and welcome... Fuck me.
You want to take a breather? You want to recover from your
What's
loss?
What's the word that I'm thinking?
What is the word you're thinking?
Remembered. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chilling Amongst the Mangoes, the stickiest and the most antagonistic review show on the internet. I'm CJ Welker.
I'm Gage Topolsky, and
we've been going
after each other.
Yeah,
a bit.
Ever since we started doing in person,
yeah,
we've kind of been tearing at each other's throats a bit.
Yeah, or literally, well, not throats, but arms in this case. got so fucking excited.
Full Black Panther on your arm.
I was so relaxed.
How could you be relaxed?
It was so quiet. The movie, like, reached a point between, like, major fights happening, and it was the moment of, like, truth, and it was very quiet, and I was so relaxed, and you pinched me so hard I could feel your fingers touch beneath my skin.
Yeah, that was my bad.
Yeah, it was.
That was also your bad.
How?
Your arm was there.
That's not.
We saw Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Did we introduce ourselves?
I'm CJ Topolsky. We did it. All right.
We saw Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Pretty solid Marvel movie, considering that Chadwick Boseman died.
Yeah.
The worst theater experience I've ever had in a Marvel movie.
Actually, I'm trying to think. I feel like I definitely went to a movie. Stop playing with your straw.
Sorry. I have the world's biggest gin and tonic in a 32-ounce plastic thing.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, the first time I went to see Ant-Man, there were like a couple kids there.
Oh, okay.
And this one wasn't... Okay, so I'm willing to give the kid to our right a pass.
Okay. Kid to our right, a pass. The parents who brought him, no.
Yeah.
Because if you're bringing a 3 or 4 year old kid to see a movie, they better know how to shut the fuck up for three hours.
Yeah.
And they're 4 years old. They're not going to be able to shut the fuck up for 3 hours. Don't bring a 4 year old to see a 3 hour long movie.
Yeah.
That upsets the hell out of
fine.
Me. I'm not mad at the kid at all. I'm mad at the parents.
During the opening, like, ads for the other stuff, for other movies, trailers, one of them was for the new Super Mario Brothers movie, and his just joy at seeing that.
Yeah, like, no, it was cute.
Yeah. And, like,
Bowser!
it's Mario! And I'm like, I lean over to CJ, and I say, kid's got a better voice for Mario than
Chris Pratt. But... The bigger issue in the theater was the lady who was sitting kind of directly in front of you.
I think she was the one who had the perfume.
She was.
Yeah.
Because it was the second that she walked in and sat down that I leaned over to
like
you.
This
and
expanse
and
of
loud
lavender.
And I said it. I tried to say it loud enough so that she might hear.
Yeah.
Because fuck you, lady.
Yeah.
She was wearing enough perfume to, you know, enthrall a small army.
Yeah, it was like as she came in, there was like this
like it
precursor
with her.
Yeah, there's
like,
this
she,
cloud
it
of
announced her presence.
This
and then
cloud
if that
of
wasn't
artificial,
bad enough and was
yeah.
distracting me for the entire movie.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Every single time something happened on screen that was like slightly out of left field, she was like
it was
bad noises.
It was bad noises. Yeah.
It took everything I had not to lean forward and just slap her on top of the head.
You'd have had to stand up and do that.
Yeah.
She okay. Yeah.
I'm not that
lean
lazy.
Forward. All right. Yeah, no, you want to get into this?
Yeah, so this is the first time that we haven't had a chance to literally sit down and, like, generate our thoughts.
Yeah.
We literally just saw this. We just got out a half hour ago. Mm-hmm. No notes.
No notes.
God help us all. Kevin, help us all.
He's got his fingers in a lot of pies these days. They're all good, though. That's the thing. Like, yeah. if it was anyone else, if he started having a couple of missteps, then I'd be annoyed. But, like, everything he's been EP on, or even just regular producer, like, it's just fucking good.
Well, that's because he was tutored or mentored by Avi Arad and then walked away from that experience going, okay, so now I know everything what not to do. And here we are.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to read the cast list?
Yes. So, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, directed by Ryan Coogler, who needs no introduction. He's the genius who directed the first Black Panther.
And the Creed movies.
And the Creed movies. The first two.
Yes.
The third one that's coming out is actually being directed by Michael B. Jordan, and I'm extremely excited about that.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about that as the trailer was going on.
Yeah.
I loved the first Creed. The second one I thought could have been a little bit better.
I haven't watched them. Boxing movies aren't really my style.
I've heard good things. The first one.
Okay.
It's pretty good. As far as boxing movies go, it might be my favorite of all time.
Okay.
Maybe save for Cinderella Man. Because that's just a good, like, timepiece movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's starring Letitia Wright as Shuri. Let's just get the elephant out of the room. We're not going to be discussing how controversial she is.
Yes.
We're going to leave that off and just talk about her performance in this movie.
Yes.
Lupita Nyong'o as Nakia, who continues to be underutilized by Marvel.
Yep. Don't know why.
Biggest issue in the movie for me. Actually, second biggest issue. Danai Gurira as Okoye, who is utilized perfectly by Marvel every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Winston Duke, who is from our own backyard,
yep.
As M'Baku. Angela Bassett as Queen Ramonda. Tenoch Huerta as Namor, or Namor, depending on who's...
I was against the new pronunciation, but then we got the backstory. I'm like, okay.
And then he's the only person who called himself Namor.
Yeah.
Everybody else said Namor, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
And then also we have Dominique Thorne as Riri Williams, aka Ironheart.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Martin Freeman as Everett Ross, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Valentina de Fontaine, who apparently is the director of the CIA, and the only reason Martin Freeman was in it was to set that up.
Yeah, and I'm happy with that. Okay, just on a larger level, putting her as the new de facto head of the CIA is putting America even more, like, on the, what the fuck you doing over there, man?
Right. But on top of that, considering that she's basically going to be the Amanda Waller of the Thunderbolts.
Yes.
Like, the fact that I was not expecting her to be in this.
Yeah,
I was expecting Martin Freeman.
Yeah.
I was not expecting Martin Freeman to basically be the delivery mechanism for Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes.
I'm okay with it because it worked. And also, I'm never going to say no to Martin Freeman doing an American accent. It's just...
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
You still got to watch Fargo.
I know. No, the TV show. I know.
It's really good.
You shown... me like the opening or like that one clip from the first episode or
yeah.
whatever. And I have a lot on my plate.
Americans, other Americans have trouble getting that accent right.
Well, don't you know? Yeah. That's basically the cast list. There's a couple other people, obviously. Like, every performance in this movie was knocked out of the park.
Yeah.
Obviously we have spoiler alerts. Michael B. Jordan is in this as Killmonger for a scene, and that's when I Jaws of Life'd your bicep.
Yeah, no, it really freaking hurt.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'm curious. Like, you. Okay, it's not that bad.
Yeah, all the guys at work always make jokes about how I'm like the friendly giant who doesn't know his own strength.
Yes,
and that's very, very problematic.
Yeah. I'll yell at you more when we get to that part of the movie.
All right. If you want to take away the plot.
Okay, so...
Because I was crying through, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, the movie begins with give me a second.
Shuri.
With Shuri running around her lab, trying to synthesize a synthetic version of the heart flower.
The heart-shaped herb.
The heart-shaped herb that grants the Black Panther there.
Well, after she prays to Bast, the god for the Wakandans, the Panther god, goddess, for her to save T'Challa. Her.
Yeah.
And that if that happened, then maybe she'd believe in her.
Yeah.
And obviously that doesn't happen.
Yeah. She doesn't, she creates one, but it's too late. And the compound was, too low a percentage.
Basically, T'Challa dies off screen at the very, like, first thing that happens in the movie, due to a unknown illness.
Yeah.
I would like to posit a theory.
Yeah.
Alien illness brought from Thanos' army.
Maybe. I think it more has to do with, like, he needed, like, a continual supply of that flower, or there was something, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just shooting out a theory.
I feel like alien illness is going to be too, I don't think they're going to go with that, because it has too many other,
I mean, no, they're not going to go with anything, yeah, is exactly. The thing.
Yeah.
They're going to leave it as ambiguous. I'm just throwing out a theory that it could have been an alien, like, bug.
Okay.
Or something.
So funeral happens, everyone's processing grief in their own way. Some people are not processing grief. Lupita has, just thrown herself into her work.
You mean Shuri?
Shuri, sorry. Yeah.
It's hard for you not having notes.
I really rely on my past typing. Yeah.
You mean speech dictating?
I do both.
Now I know where the typos come from.
Yeah. So I don't think we can go through this scene by scene. So let's just kind of go over the main plots.
All right. So Queen Ramonda, a year later, goes to the UN. Every country on the planet has been trying to go after vibranium.
Yeah.
This
meeting is being led by the U.S. and
France.
And as this is happening, we see French military breaking into an outreach program to try to get some vibranium.
But it's an ambush by the Dora Milaje, who just wipe the floor with them just like tasers, that non-lethal damage, and then drag them into the UN courtroom.
And have them, like, kneel in front of...
Yeah.
And
Queen Ramonda tells all the other countries basically to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, you're not getting any of this.
Yeah.
Why should I trust any of you with any of this?
Yeah,
you have only shown,
like,
a long history of violence and destruction. Yeah.
It's not that we're not keeping the vibranium safe because of its properties as a weapon. We're keeping it safe because of the properties of you and how violent you are. Also, she... tells them, if you think that just because we lost our king, that we are weak.
Yeah.
That's not how this game works. So that sets up a U.S. like Navy SEAL
thing
going on, where they actually have a vibranium metal detector that they're running across the bottom of the ocean.
Yep. And they find a chunk of vibranium in the ground. In the Gulf of Mexico.
Some scientists and everything go down there to check things out because they broke their drill bit.
Yeah, and the freaking... And this is where the movie becomes a horror movie for just a second.
For, like, a scene.
For a couple of scenes. Like, the okay, when they... first, there's two scientists go down. One of them turns and sees a giant glowing...
A phantom jellyfish.
Phantom jellyfish, and they marvel at that, and... topside, they said, hey, we're getting some weird readings. What's going on down there? Please, we lost contact with your partner. Can you check? She turns, and because they're in, like, these giant pressure suits, she turns very slowly, and she just sees, like, the end of the cord.
Of the tether
floating where he was.
Yeah. And then we see a guy up top with binoculars looking at the water. He's like, I think we got something here. And there's just... heads floating above the water in, like, a triangle.
A perfect triangle. And they start singing. And I think for a second, okay, this is just creepy music to add tension. But no. It's diegetic music.
Yes.
They're siren singing. And everyone on board the ship just jumps up, quietly climbs up
and
jumps into the ocean. I'm like, fuck, that's creepy as hell.
Yeah, and then the main like Navy SEAL dude and the scientist, the CIA lady, whatever the hell she was, who I thought was actually going to be a bigger part in the movie.
The way she was introduced, it definitely made it.
It felt like the way that they brought Everett Ross in the first movie.
Yeah, or the first time we ever saw
Fury.
Not Fury. Coulson. Coulson.
Yeah.
In Avengers. Yeah, like, it did. He's here. I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's me. I'm here. Deal with it.
Yeah.
But she's only here for a little bit because she tries to escape wearing earbuds. Does not know how to shoot a gun.
She was aiming for. They have like blue people climb up, and they have like. The Mayan. Oh, I loved the one thing. One of them had like a headdress of feathers. Those weren't feathers. Those were the fins of a lionfish.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one had the skull of a hammerhead shark.
Yeah.
That's a Tuma.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get a Tuma no more.
No. Well, I don't know.
It was left ambiguous.
It was left ambiguous.
Yeah.
I mean, I even noticed some of the editing during the fights. Even when someone got stabbed, another head like passed over it. So they didn't get to see anything.
The third, fifth act, whatever.
This was definitely a five act.
Yeah, movie. The final confrontation between the Wakandans and the Telokanians. The fishmen.
The fishmen. Yeah.
We'll
get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So. America notices, hey, we had this vibranium thing, and they're pretty concerned that the Wakandans have figured out that they've been able to figure out how to find vibranium.
Yeah.
So basically, they reach. Who reaches out to who?
So basically, the next thing that we see is still like with the lady trying to escape from the people on the boat.
Oh, no, wait. Okay, no, wait. I remember. Okay, so
she gets in a helicopter. They start to fly away.
Yep.
And then the helicopter stops and then gets swung around. And then as it impacts the water, we see that it was just Namor.
Yeah.
Floating there with his flying ankle wings.
Yeah.
And just decimating, the helicopter.
The next time we see him will be in Wakanda. So we go back to Wakanda. We see
the Queen goes to visit Shuri in her lab.
Says, "Hey, you've been spending too much time with all your science. I don't trust your AI. Maybe it's time to actually grieve.
Yeah,
come with me to do the ceremony."
Yeah. So they go out to the Riverlands, set a campfire, and the Queen Ramonda brings. Because it's been a year to the day of T'Challa's death, she brings her mourning garb to throw into the fire and brings Shuri's as well, but Shuri doesn't want to do it.
Because this is the end of the grieving period, and part of it is burning the clothes you wore on the funeral. Right. She says, if I burn this, I feel like I'm just going to... I will burn the whole world because she can't. She's still not handling his death well.
And then an elephant rears up and How do you say what an elephant sound makes? That sentence didn't
trumpets?
Work.
Trumpets.
Yeah,
trumpets.
An elephant trumpets and flees, and then Namor just rises from the water. And I don't know how Ryan Coogler managed to make a guy wearing tantamount to a male bikini. Terrifying.
Yeah.
But he did.
Yeah.
And Huerta was the perfect casting.
It helps that we didn't go with the original design of his costume.
Just the Speedo?
Just the Speedo.
I mean, it's not much more.
It's enough more. He has shoulder garbs and
bracers and shit and ceremonial, Aztec, chest piece and everything. It's a good-looking design. I love the way that they just went full into the whole, I almost said Mesopotamian, but, Mayan, Aztec, depending on... It's not
They called out clear. Mayan.
They called out both, I thought. Did they? But, yeah, I don't know. Mm. I can't remember. But yeah, the actual, like, I'll just go with Mayan.
I think it was Mayan. Yeah. I think it was just Mayan. Yeah, so he basically says, hey, so I've been living in my own city for a while. You are the only other people that are technologically as competent as we are. The rest of the world has figured out how to detect my vibranium. My people's safety is
at risk.
At risk.
So I need you to team up with me and we can just like,
yeah,
you know, take care of this.
His original plan is like, find the if you find me the scientist that did this, yeah, that made the detector, because
he broke it and like, he broke it. Tells them, hey, find me the scientist who made this and tell no one of this confrontation.
We don't exist.
Yeah. And then he just like fades back into the water. And then they turn over and they see that the machine is just on the shore.
They just turn to the side and it's like, how did he do that? Yeah. I do think that it's a little weird that, okay, like at first it made sense to go after the scientist. But when we learn later that the scientist was, that she didn't know that the U.S. government used her technology.
Yeah.
And was like you actively utilizing it. Like killing one scientist isn't going to fix anything if they know how it works already.
No, but it's not like Namor knew that.
Yeah, I guess. But no, he did because he was part of a government construction site.
But Namor didn't know that the scientist who designed it didn't know about
the US government. But what good would killing one scientist do to stop things? Like this, at this point, he hasn't said, "I want to destroy the surface world."
No, but that's his end game.
Yes, but right now he's just like, "Do this, and we
vengeance against a single bug that's annoying him."
I guess. Okay,
it's like squashing a mosquito.
Yeah, but that doesn't work. That doesn't work as an analogy because it's not squashing a mosquito. It's squashing an ant. And then being having your picnic ruined and squashing one ant and being like, ha, take that.
It's the first step.
Okay, fine.
I think it was more so to send a message more than anything.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, so the Wakandans realize, okay, we need to find the scientist. And they find her. What's her name again?
Riri.
Riri.
Riri Williams. She's a student at MIT. Who is gifted beyond her years.
She makes money by doing other people's homework.
Mm-hmm.
She's a delight in this.
Yeah, she is. She's amazing. I like this version of the character way more than the comic version.
Yeah, I like the comic version, too.
The comic version's fine. I like this interpretation more.
Yeah.
It feels more realistic. It feels more like a character.
It does. I like the scrappiness of the comic, though.
Yeah, that's
just
fair.
Like, screw your millions of dollars. I'm smart and can do. I can make a suit, an Iron Man suit out of a car.
I wish that we saw her, like, talking down Tony Stark, like,
yeah,
like, and it, like, I was like, yeah, why did it take him so much time and money to do this? It's like, yeah, it took me time, didn't take me much money. Like, I think it would have been cool to hear her like dissing Tony.
Yeah but, anyway,
then if she had done that, it might have made me mad, so it's just,
yeah. Anyway, so there's a great scene where the princess goes to her and like tries to talk her into like, come with us. We can protect you. We can fix this. And she's a little freaked out by having royalty in her room. And then she's like, okay, I'll do this. Just let me go to the bathroom. Oh, what are you doing in there?
Yeah, as Okoye walks out, it's like, tells Shuri, I told you had 5 minutes. I gave you 6. Now we're leaving with her. And basically tries to intimidate Riri, who starts throwing Beats Pill?
Yeah.
Or some kind of speaker.
Some kind of speaker. She just cuts it out of the sky.
Yeah, with her spear. And then Riri tries to throw a big space heater. And Okoye talks her down. It's like, fine, we'll just leave. and lets you deal with the angry fish man who wants to kill you and rip your heart out all alone.
Also, he can fly.
Yeah.
Good
and
luck.
Then, and she's like, wait, what? And cut to them.
So she says, I'll go with you, but I got to pick up some stuff first. Left my laptop at work. And we see a warehouse where she keeps her dad's car as well as some other...
a motorcycle, some nice screens with some tech on them.
Yeah.
Like a rolling...
Pinboard.
Pinboard where she's got a bunch of designs for her suit. And above her Mark One Ironheart suit.
Yeah.
Which is...
I love the design.
I like the design of that one.
Yeah. Okay, I like the design of the other one. It just needs to be more beaten up. We'll get to it.
It's not even beaten up. It needs to be less anime.
I mean, the first one, in the comic, it was fairly anime.
No, the first one was kind of anime, but, like, for live action, that doesn't work.
Yeah, well...
It looked very out of place. Granted, so did the suit that Okoye ended up. That looked terrible.
That one I didn't like.
I hated that.
Why was it so Egyptian inspired?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I'm with Okoye. It's ugly as fuck. I did not like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so as they're getting ready to go, they notice that
the feds pull up.
Yeah.
There's a car chase. We got to speed through.
Yeah,
it's
we
a
do.
Three-hour-long movie.
This is a three-hour-long movie. There's a car chase. Pretty good car chase.
Yeah, it's fine.
We see her fly around in the Ironheart.
Yeah, I like that aspect of it. The car chase itself was nothing too other than when Okoye throws her spear through the back seat of the muscle car,
yeah.
And then backs up to ram the Fed off, flip his car.
Yeah.
That was cool. Should have punctured the gas tank, but I'll leave it.
I am happy for whenever there's a car accident and there's not a fireball.
Yeah, no, it did that well.
Yes.
Shuri's AI tells her that she's being targeted by a drone. Riri flies up, starts to run out of oxygen, but gets a good shot in. The drone falls. Riri falls. Riri saves herself at the last moment. Very reminiscent of the first Iron Man film.
Yeah.
When he...
hits the cold limit.
Yeah, hits the encounters the icing problem.
Right. The drone, as the drone falls, it takes out a blockade set up by the feds in just this really great shot. I loved that was pretty good. Hey, I'm sending something to you.
Yeah.
And then I love that it didn't hit straight on. It came out
from
the left.
Yeah,
and then
it
hit and it brushed everything to the side.
They try to escape down the bridge, and they are stopped by water people.
Yeah.
By the way, we watched Black Panther: The Way of Water.
They were riding on killer whales.
Honestly, the fact that this came out like a month before the new Avatar movie, and it's just like, fuck you, we got there first, bitches.
Yeah. They're fine. Here's the thing. I wish I liked this movie more.
Yeah, me too. I feel weird that I didn't like it as much.
It was good. It was still... It's a top 15 Marvel movie.
Yeah, so it's in the top half.
Top half. So it's still a good Marvel
movie. And
even
the bottom half, only like the bottom five are even kind of bad.
Yeah.
The bottom three are very bad.
Yes. Like, it's a Marvel movie. We know that they figured out a way to make these good and consistently so.
Yeah. But there's some story choices and stuff that I'm not a huge fan of.
It
granted,
was weirdly slow.
It was very slow. The issue is, obviously they had to do a lot of rewrites. The movie's still good. But I think the movie's good in spite of the rewrites and everything.
Mm.
Not obviously not because of them, because, I mean, in a perfect world, this would have been Chadwick Boseman's second Black Panther movie.
Yeah, and, God, imagine him bickering off of Ironheart.
Riri,
yeah.
Yeah, imagine his dynamic with Namor.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to sit here and... talk about like what could have been if Chadwick Boseman was still alive, because that's just going to get everyone down.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like I feel like enough of this movie was it like basically stays the same.
Yeah,
with him, it probably would have been a little bit better. I'm not a fan of Shuri's character.
Mm.
I I'm not a fan of the protagonist. It has nothing to do with the fact that I don't like Letitia Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her performance in this is very good.
Mm.
I don't think her character is well written.
Yeah.
Like, she was very much a side character in the first one.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Was perfectly okay with that. And then in this one, obviously, a lot happened. Like,
yes.
She loses her entire family. Yes, she's going to be an angsty little bitch.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just... That's all she really has going for her?
Yeah.
Is that she's angsty. And it's hard to... It's easy to relate. It's hard to like her.
Yeah. I think that's what they were trying to do. But at the same time, you don't... My bigger problem isn't with the characters. I don't mind any of the character decisions. But what I do mind is the pacing. Even, like, during the fights... Oh, yeah.
The pacing was... kind of horrendous.
The fights were weirdly slow. The combat was long and drawn out. Okay, let's go back to the story, where we're at.
Okoye gets her ass kicked by Atuma.
Yes.
And Riri and Shuri get taken by the fish people.
Yeah.
They never actually gave them, like, a nomenclature to talk about them in the group, and
right.
That kind of bothers me.
Yeah. The blue... Ness. Is that in the comics where they blew?
I don't remember.
Like that felt very like Avatar-esque. That felt very weird that they decided to do that. Also, like only the warriors were blue. They were only
kind of blue.
Okay.
So here's what I noticed: when they're underwater, they're human colored. When they come above water, it's like not having the oxygen on their skin turns them blue, or not having the water on their skin turns them blue.
Okay.
Something to do with oxygen. I don't know.
Hmm.
It does look like Atuma was blue in the comics.
Okay.
I don't remember him very much, but
yeah.
He is. Oh, that's right. He was usually depicted as an enemy of Namor.
Oh. Okay. Interesting. But,
I mean, they changed a lot about Namor, considering that it's not Atlantis, it's Telokan?
Telokan, I think. Yeah.
Telokan? Something like that.
Yeah.
We couldn't take notes.
Yeah. And anyway, so she goes to this new world during... Let's focus on their story and then go up above land and reconnect. She has a magical, like, happy, it felt Peter Pan and Wendy-esque a little bit.
Yeah.
It
kind of felt like they wanted to bone, but also
like,
didn't.
Like, look at this. It was, flirtatious, diplomacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He shows her his world.
A whole new world.
Yeah. I was trying to combine a whole new world with Under the Sea, but I can't. Two
everything's better down where it's wetter in a whole new. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
They're in different keys.
Yeah. They finish up by saying, "Hey, so why don't
one of them's in minor? Never mind."
Sorry, I got you thinking about music. Which was, in this movie, music was very
music
good.
Was fucking fire.
Yes.
Not even just, like, the soundtrack, because the soundtrack was ballin'.
Yeah, but, like, the...
every single, like, actual song they had was a fucking bop.
Yeah.
And I don't usually like that kind of music, but that bopped.
I love when movies... It's very rare to see it happen, when movies combine the score with the songs so well.
They just... Mwah, chef's kiss. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Only other movie that's coming to me off the top of my head is the animated Spider-Man. Why am I forgetting
it? Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely others, but...
Yeah.
I'm...
So...
It's a Saturday night. I have the biggest gin and tonic known to man, and I'm almost done with it.
Yeah. They...
Shit's about to get weird in about 15 minutes.
All right. He says, hey, with our powers combined, we can take on the surface world.
I heard you that night on the beach with your mother. You want to burn the whole world down?
Yeah, no, that's like I was like, listening to you, and like you said, you would burn the whole.
Here's the thing with Namor is that in the comics he's an arrogant prick,
yeah,
and in this he's a righteous has this righteous indignation. I love that slight little yes, he's still an asshole, but he's like a righteous asshole instead of just being arrogant. I love that.
He accepts the title of God that his people have given him.
He accepts the title of God that his people have given him. But he also realizes at the end, because comics Namor would never yield. He'd find a way to escape.
Yeah. Or like move and force her to stab him.
Yeah. Where this version of Namor, in a moment of life or death, realizes that if he yields, like, the strategy there is a lot better.
Yeah, long-term planning.
So, I love this shift in Namor's personality for the live action.
Yeah.
On top of all the moving things from Atlantis to Mayan, or Telokan, to the winged serpent god.
Yeah.
Which is just...
Yeah.
The headdress he wears is...
While they're
amazing.
While they're chatting, he tells her his life story, basically.
I leaned over to you and I'm like, I'm so fucking here for this.
Yeah. Way back during the Spanish...
Inquisition?
No.
No. Not the Inquisition. The Spanish colonization.
Colonization of the...
of Central America. Of
Central and South America. His people were dying...
Due
to smallpox, and one of his people found a glowing blue flower deep underwater.
Yes, so they had a seer or something.
Yeah,
who prayed to their god, dove under the water, found that basically the Mayan version of the purple flower that they used for the Black Panther, gave it to everybody. It cured them. It cured all the ones that weren't already dead or too far gone.
Yep.
They tried to feed it to Namor's mother. She didn't want it because she was pregnant.
But they convinced her anyway.
They convinced her anyway and gave her this, like, braid thing that they said would keep the child safe.
Yep.
That the child would be the first one born into their new world and that he would be their king.
Yep. They all passed out, woke up a little bit later, blue, and couldn't breathe air.
Yep. Dive into the water. Everything's okay. We get... the closest Marvel will ever get to a water birth.
That's not a... I just want to see blood and, like,
blood. You're not going to get that.
The most we're going to get is alien blood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or robot oil, which, yeah. Honestly, that's the closest. The robot oil.
I mean, you'll get blood in black and white.
Yeah.
Clever
use of black and white.
I know you were disappointed in Werewolf by Night. Mm. I get it. Mm. I really, really liked that they did that.
Okay. Where was
I? So Ted is my spirit animal.
So baby gets born. He has pointed ears and...
feathered wings on his ankles.
Tiny little feather wings. And he name drops Mutant. Mm-hmm. And he says it with the emphasis of like...
It's not that bad.
I was a mutant.
Miss Marvel was a little bit worse with that.
She wasn't, but did she drop? Oh, wait, Miss Marvel. I haven't.
They dropped the word. They didn't say mutant. They said mutation. Mm. But they said it like because when they did it, the 97 X-Men animated show theme played.
Okay.
Worse. It's like, this is just like, I was a mutant. He kind of spits out the word mutant, not like a to the audience, but like a, like,
yeah,
like, I'm better than you kind of way.
Time goes on. He doesn't age as fast. His mother passes away, but she wants to be buried up on land.
His fellows bring her up. He's like 10. And they see just enslaved people
and working a plantation,
and he loses his shit and they slaughter all of them.
What was the Spanish priest said before he died?
Oh, that you were a child without love. And I was thinking to myself, every day I wake up, then I start to break up, lonely as a child without love.
Okay. I don't...
Moon Knight?
Okay.
The song from Moon Knight?
Yes, I get it. I didn't connect that with Moon Knight.
Child without love, man without love.
Okay, fine. I didn't get that connection.
Okay, sorry. Art runs in your veins, music runs in mine.
Okay.
I heard Child Without Love and it automatically went to
there. Okay.
I hate that I forgot the guy's name. It's Engel.
Anyway, in Spanish, he combined
Engelbert Humperdinck. Can't believe I forgot that.
Anyway, he decides, okay, that's a good name. Namor.
Namor.
Namor, which is Spanish for no love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, like it.
And he's also the only one who ever says it that way.
Yeah,
everybody else calls him Namor, and I'm cool with it.
Yeah. Yeah, so he then just built up his empire underground, mm-hmm. underwater.
I will say, some of the editing in this movie I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, it was a bit bumpy.
There's some time, like during this flashback is when I really started to notice it, mm-hmm. because it's the flashback and then it just cuts back to him talking with just like a still shot of like his upper torso and and then it cuts back to the flashback and that's where I started to notice that the editing got weird.
I wish we saw more of the underwater city.
I do too.
We saw like,
even though it freaked you out a bit.
Thasophobia doesn't usually get me.
That's the fear of being deep underwater,
yeah.
basically.
So, like, I'm fine with, like, the area where sunlight can get to, and then, like, the area where there is no sunlight because it's just water.
Yeah.
But then there's this area known as the Twilight Zone, which is terrifying to me, because that's where you see...
Feels like I'm stepping into the Twilight Zone.
Okay, yeah. See, I say Twilight Zone. I'm thinking of the TV show, not this whatever song you were just playing.
Just so, I'm gonna pretend you did just say whatever song you were
playing. I don't know that song.
As if Twilight Zone by Golden Earring isn't a fucking classic.
That's not what I've been. Please don't play it. I don't care.
But it's not even a rock song.
I don't care.
The bass line, though!
All right, I'll listen to it later on my own time. Yeah, yeah. Do you want some more D&D character art? I'll make it up to you.
Make me a god.
Yeah, I said send me a picture. I need to work off of something. Where the fuck were we? God damn it. Right, complaining about the city. All we see is, like, kelp farms and, mm-hmm. like, a place and, like, people playing like that...
a main square and...
Yeah, and it's just like, we see an overshot, and it looks awesome, but I was like, wait a minute, you have a underwater city where you can move in any direction, why is it flat, and why do we only see this one tiny area where it's mostly showing off people instead of, like, the
budget
stuff? Yeah. Anyway, they have their heart to heart. He says, okay, don't worry. You're not going anywhere. I gotta go take care of something. Someone wants to talk to me. So he goes up
and talks to the queen. And as he's talking to the queen, Lupita Nyong'o's Nakia, has been recruited and goes, basically on a little spy mission to try to infiltrate. She finds out where, Teilokan is located, goes down, murders a couple people.
Yeah.
Starts a war. You know.
Starts a war.
Just casually warred.
Oops, did I accidentally a war?
Yeah.
Don't care, you stole a princess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, technically they started the war.
Yeah.
It's neither here nor there. It was also not a war, it was two battles.
Yeah.
It was a long week.
Not even two battles. There was one battle and then one surprise terrorist attack.
They kind of both terrorist attacked each other at that last one.
Yes. Well, no, the last one was like on a battlefield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All
right. So princess gets rescued. The queen talks to Namor. Namor says, actually, fuck you and whatever you're about to say, because no. Instead, you're going to ally with me, mm-hmm. and we're going to take down the surface world, and if we don't, I'm going to take down you, and then I'm going to take down the surface world.
Yeah.
There's no room for, like, negotiation.
Yeah.
He's a prick.
I have more soldiers in my army than you have blades of grass in your country.
Yeah, that was the line. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, all you have to do is drop a grenade in the water, and everyone's ear... eardrums rupture. And now you're fighting a force that doesn't know up from down.
Yep.
And I'm like, you are not, like, you might be powerful. Your people are going to die. Like, fighting underwater is not ideal in any circumstance.
No.
But especially because his people aren't actually adapted to the water.
They not fully.
They can breathe underwater. I didn't even see, like slight...
Oh, no, they didn't.
No slight webbing, webbed fingers.
So he's the only one of them that's actually, like, superhuman.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah, and his weakness is air.
Not even. His weakness is being deprived of, like, humidity.
Yeah. So, you know, most of land? Yeah. Anyway.
Just get him to Florida. He's fine. Just make Namor a Florida man.
I know. Just give him Florida. Let's give Namor Florida.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sacrifice Florida for the greater good.
You may have Florida. It has already been taken by the ocean.
And what hasn't been taken by the ocean has been claimed by the stupid that you can rule over.
Please get rid of the state.
No, please. Like, really, like, we're giving it to you. You could probably take more. Just take Florida. We're cool.
There's a section of the United States that is filled with old people and incredibly young drunk people, and every 4 years they decide who the president is.
Oh, I hate that that's accurate.
Yep. Okay, back to the story. People get rescued. They go back to Wakanda. There's some talking, there's some debating.
And then there's an attack.
So the...
Oh, by the way, Okoye has been stripped of her title as a general, and Angela Bassett delivers, like, a fucking powerful-ass speech about losing everything.
Yeah.
In the middle of the whole Shuri being almost in love with the mass murderer.
Yeah. Oh, just, I don't think she even knew about that. She was just like,
she never finds out about that until, like, the very end when Okoye is just like, I gave away my spear. She's like, I made you a new one.
Yeah.
And it looks like trash.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, so they breach the perimeter. The weapon that they use.
It's a D12.
It's a D12. It's a,
The 12-sided die, I forget.
Basically, and whenever you rupture it, it explodes in a blast of water. And I'm like, why not steam? Like, the physics, like...
Yeah.
They've played fast and loose with science, but that's fine. Science fiction is fine. But there's certain principles of thermodynamics which are being broken here.
Also, the volume of water that's inside the things is not the same amount of volume of water that is released when they blow up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's under pressure.
Under pressure.
So
I'm sorry, I don't know what's gotten into me today. Actually, I do know what's gotten into me.
About a liter and a half of vodka tonic.
Gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic, yeah, sure.
It's Roku, this is good shit.
Okay, congratulations. You have expensive alcohol. So they blow up parts of the city. There's a great scene with, what's his name?
M'Baku,
where he's like chilling. He's chilling with some of his bros, and then they attack, and he just dives into the water. Well,
because the entire
people.
Time he's just like, oh, the fish man.
Yeah.
And he drops down because he wants to take out the fish man.
He runs up to him. He's like, he's about to hit him, and fish man spins around. Punches him. I think this might be the best shot in the movie. Punches him in the chest. M'Baku has like this
vibranium chest armor
with like wood inlay.
Yeah,
and it like just fractures,
destroys the wood.
There's a nice slow motion shot of him like getting punched in the chest.
What I will say, the slow motion in this movie, because it happens a couple times. With Namor punching M'Baku's chest piece.
Yeah.
And in the car chase earlier, where the car flips over with the water bomb, it almost looks like they shot it in like 240 hertz and then slowed it down, because it's like time is standing still.
I had that thought too, but then I realized I think we've been watching too much bad slow motion in other movies, and we were comparing it on a curve.
Right. It did look very good. I'm saying it felt like it was drawn out a little bit longer than usual.
Yeah. Kind of like the rest of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to like it.
I do too. It's just, it's so hard. They did a great job at trying to recapture the magic that was the first movie without Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do when you have to rewrite it and then still get the movie out on time.
And it was, every scene felt like if I watched this on 0.75% speed,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't admit, like, that would just be a little bit better. Like, everything just took, like, there was too much time in front of every scene and then at the end of every scene.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing is, too, it sometimes felt like a scene went by too quickly.
Yeah.
But then the entire movie dragged a little bit.
Yeah. That's the weird part.
I feel like there's almost too many scenes that almost you could get rid of and put whatever exposition is there somewhere else.
Yeah.
But the issue is they're trying to do exposition for the movie that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to do everything with their actual plot, mm-hmm. while doing doing twice the amount of character development that they usually would, because they also want to pay tribute to Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And it's like, it kind of made the movie drag a little bit.
Yeah.
I love that it's in there. I think it's beautifully well done,
mm-hmm.
the way that they had all the characters grieve about T'Challa differently. But it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It kind of brought the movie down a little bit.
I mean,
and not just emotionally.
Yeah. So I just remember something we didn't mention.
There's going to be a lot of that.
Well, no, I mean, this one's an interesting one. I'm terrible at names right now. You keep singing and I keep forgetting people's names.
Tell me what you're talking about and I'll tell you who it was.
What's his name? The woman with the purple hair.
Oh, Julia Louis-Dreyfus's Valentina de Fontaine.
Yes.
And CIA Everett, director.
And Everett used to be married.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, he's kind of a plot device to shoo her in.
Yeah.
Set up who she actually is after we've seen her once or twice before.
But they have great chemistry.
I mean, to be fair, I think both of them have great on-screen chemistry with basically anybody.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, Martin Freeman, I've never seen him not play well off of another actor.
Yeah.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus just has this air about her of, I ooze sexuality and chemistry.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Yeah, no, but it's great, too. And they really play, like, exes who tried to make it work, couldn't make it work, or on still rocky terms, especially after she arrests him for treason.
Yeah. Yeah, because we do learn, because America doesn't know anything about Namor or anything about this, so they just think the Wakandans are being actual, like, warmongers.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're getting ready to take, aggressive action against Wakanda.
Yeah.
And Ross is like, wait, just trying to salvage this.
One, that's a bad idea, and you guys know it.
Two, that's a very bad idea, and I know it.
And three, there might be another player on the board.
Who? Oh, no, they won't tell me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
anyway.
That's the thing. Every performance in this movie is amazing. Mm-hmm. I think the plot and story overall is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just, I cannot tell you what it is that's making this a little bit harder for me to,
it's slow. Like, it's the pacing. And I don't know how else to explain that.
I don't even know if it's just the pacing. Like,
after the terrorist attack, Namor hops up. Tries to kill the
Queen Ramonda.
Tries to kill Queen Ramonda and the
Riri,
and
stabs into the glass with his spear. The glass is a little bit too strong, so he flies backwards a little bit and hucks a couple D12s her way, and they blow up. Ramonda and Riri are underwater. Riri's unconscious. Ramonda drags her up.
Yeah,
Ramonda is face down in the water. Riri's up. They resuscitate Riri, and Ramonda passes.
Yeah, that was the scene where I got the major thasophobia. Like the lighting there has, like, at the bottom of the screen, absolute darkness. It was it like
Yeah, no, that one, that one I can definitely see that. I didn't get it, but I definitely, like, I understand that completely.
Yeah.
But,
anyway, she wait, they have a funeral. It's brief. They decide to evacuate everyone to the mountains.
To the Jabari tribe. To the Jabari. M'Baku's tribe.
Yeah. Because that way it's going to be harder for
ocean people. They're in the mountains.
Yeah.
Fight us in snow, cowards.
Yeah. Come to the desert. Like, that's the other thing about his plan. He is only as good as at war at around the coasts, which, yes, a lot of humans live around the coasts, but he's not going to make it to Death Valley.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. He still has his powers when he's
like,
dehumidified.
Yeah.
But
weak, so
he's
much
slightly weaker, still stronger than your average bear.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some bickering about who's going to lead us now. What are we going to do? You want to pick up?
M'Baku basically tries to talk to Shuri like, hey, you doing okay? And
she's like, no!
Winston Duke's performance in this is, it goes from almost being comic relief at the beginning to, like, after he gets punched by Namor and realizes shit's real, he turns into this, like, actual, like, advising the queen type. And he's like, look, I'm here as a friend. I want to make sure you're okay. I also want to get this dude, but let's just make sure we keep our heads. And the performance is so incredible.
He handles getting his ego actually body checked.
Yeah.
Very well and very healthfully.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, I love the character of M'Baku anyway.
Yeah.
I loved him in the first Black Panther. I loved the relationship between him and T'Challa throughout the movie.
Yeah. Oh my god, we missed the first time we see him, he kicks the door in and he's eating a long carrot.
Yes.
Which is a callback to, no, we won't eat you. We're vegetarians.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So he's eating a carrot and he just, like, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, he goes from almost being comic relief, and I'm like, no, don't do this to M'Baku. Don't do this to M'Baku. Do not make him the Jar Jar.
Yeah.
And then gets serious, he fucking, the switch flips, he turns into this amazing, just this amazing friend in performance. It's incredible. I love it.
Yeah. Listen, on your remark about Jar Jar, before Jar Jar, the only Jar Jar that existed was Smarf from the original Princess She-Ra and the Princess of Power. It is difficult to create a character that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, I know. Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about. Please don't make M'Baku just, you know, the comic relief.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, they didn't, and I'm happy about that.
So Princess decides, okay, wait a minute. I have this bracelet that was made with.
So, I almost called him by his real name, Tunak Huerta. Namor tells them, you have 1 week and then we destroy
you. Up. Yep.
And Shuri, takes this time to, use the bracelet that she was given, which we saw was like woven using parts of that,
blue plant that gave them the power. Yeah.
So she reverse engineers that to be able to create a synthetic version of the heart-shaped herb that gives the Black Panther their strength. She creates it.
Meanwhile,
Riri is making a new suit.
Yes. I was like, oh, cool. I can't wait to see this. Because it looked like it was going to be different than the Iron Man suit. And her suit in the comics is just like a more slimmed down Iron Man suit.
But it's
and I wanted
a little
to see
bit too much of a departure.
It's a bit more anime. Like, here's the thing. It's too polished.
It is.
It is. And that's not her style.
But it also, it's not that it's too polished. It just, it looks out of place in the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a Iron Man suit. It looks like a
Gundam.
It does look like a Gundam.
It looks like a very polished Gundam.
And it just, it doesn't fit. But it doesn't fit the universe. It doesn't fit the, like, the character.
That's the bigger problem. It doesn't fit the character.
No.
This is someone who made a machine out of half used parts that she got out of a garden.
It's also too round.
I didn't mind the roundness.
I kind of mind.
Like, okay, if you get the opportunity to make an Iron Man suit yourself and you've been using it, okay, I can see why she wanted to make it this way. We're not going to see this suit again, hopefully, because she's going to go home and be like, hey, I'm going to make my own Iron Man suit. Yeah.
I did like the gun, the cannon arm.
Yes, no, the cannon arm.
The cannon arm was a nice touch. I like the cannon arm.
Yeah.
Shuri takes the herb, which I was so I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to be Shuri. I was so hoping it was going to be at Nakia.
Mm. Yeah.
They do Lupita Nyong'o so dirty in these movies.
She's
like
barely in it. And exactly. She's still the best actress in this.
Exactly. But the thing is, like, they had every opportunity in this movie to say, okay, Shuri's a great side character. Shuri also, she can kind of fight with those blasty gauntlets and everything, but she's not like a fighter. She's a genius.
Yeah.
Nakia, who was barely in the first movie, had amazing chemistry with T'Challa.
Yeah.
Obviously, and we find out in this at the mid-credits of this movie, she had T'Challa's kid.
Yep.
Like, why not give her a bigger role? She is a leading actress. She can lead a fucking franchise.
Yes.
And
She has fighting skills already.
Like, she's a spy. She was Dora Milaje, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think so.
In the first one, I believe, that it was established. I could be wrong. It's been a while since I watched it.
All right.
But what I'm saying is that she's such a great actress. The character, even though she's barely in it, is already one of the best characters in the movie.
Yes.
Why not lean towards giving, you know...
She was the voice of Maz Kanata in the... Forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she's very good.
Yeah. No, but don't get me started on the fact that they made her just an alien exposition piece.
I know.
Because when it was first announced that she was going to be starring in Force Awakens, I was like, shit. If they open up on Lupita Nyong'o being trained by Luke, that is like my dream come true. Yeah. And it never happened, and I'm forever going to be angsty.
All I did was mention her and Star Wars. You're the one going off.
No, I know.
Yeah, okay. I know. I'm not getting you started. You started yourself. You can't blame me for that. Anyway, she takes the heart-shaped flower, briefly slips into the other world, the afterlife.
The ancestral plane.
Ancestral plane. Finds herself in the water where her mother
drowned.
Climbs up, sees someone sitting in the chair. I look at it and I'm thinking, at this point, it's been very quiet in the movie. I'm thinking it's going to be the king. T'Chaka. T'Chaka.
See, you and I were talking about this as the credits were rolling. We both kind of expected it to be T'Chaka, because it's the only member of the family that we never saw Shuri interact with.
Right.
And it would be awesome to see, like, real quick, like, he just literally just put his hands on her shoulders and be like, look at this rationally.
Yeah. Like, the other reason I wanted that was because so far she's been so much this tech genius, and him being, like, a diplomat, being like, you're smart. You know how to use tools. People are actually a lot simpler than tools.
Yeah.
And like, but
instead, the movie goes the complete other direction.
You injure my arm when we see him.
Because Michael B. Jordan just decides to be like, sup, cuz?
Yeah.
As Killmonger, and basically talks Shuri into getting sweet, sweet vengeance.
Like, you have more in common with me.
Your father's a hypocrite. Yeah. He'd just as soon kill the scientist and Namor. Hell, he killed his own brother.
Yep.
Your brother, was too honorable, too noble.
Yep.
He would have done everything in his power to avoid the conflict altogether. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Are you like your brother? Are you going to take what's yours like me?
Yeah.
And holy shit, he's in this movie for 3 minutes, and it's the best 3 minutes of the movie.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, the set also, like, because so it's the damaged throne room, and, like, after he finishes talking, and she's like, she starts being like, no, I'm nothing like you, that's, like, it starts catching fire.
Yeah, and it goes up in flames, and it's just,
yeah,
it's a gorgeous scene.
Yeah.
But she wakes up, tells Nakia that she didn't see anybody.
Yep.
Nakia knows it's bullshit.
It didn't take. She punches a dummy. It makes a cartoon impact into the back wall.
It's like, oh, guess it worked. Yeah. You're gonna need a suit. So she gets a suit, and then she gets airdropped into Jabari tribe.
Yeah.
Throne room.
And Jabari, I love Jabari here because, like, M'Baku. M'Baku.
Jabari is the tribe. Okay. M'Baku is the leader.
Got it. Anyway, she drops in. He stands up and is like, they do a predator handshake
into an arm wrestle
in
midair. As she wins, he goes, "It worked. The Black Panther has returned.
I don't have to deal with your petty drama."
Yeah.
Looking at the rest of the people,
she clears the room. Basically, tells M'Baku, "Like, yeah, no, I'm gonna kill him, and you're gonna help."
Yeah, he's like, "Okay, my queen, sure."
Yeah, McQueen, McQueen, but.
Like, he's a little reticent. He's just like, he points out, if you kill them, they have a lot of people.
Like, and they worship him as a god. If you kill him, it's going to be worse than just him being a martyr.
It will be eternal war with us and them.
And Shuri snaps back, "Is my mother's death not worth eternal war?" And he's like, "Of course it was. Of course she was."
Yeah.
"But do you think that's really what's best for your people, for my people?"
Yeah.
And it just, his snap back is fucking hit.
Yeah.
But no, he's she's just like, "No, I'm leading us right now. Yeah. I'm the Black Panther. I'm killing him. You're going to help."
Yep. They get onto their warship.
It's a boat.
An arrow. It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen of Marvel.
It's literally just like a brick.
So you have all of Central Africa, African influences that you can borrow from, of different boats and different sailing vessels, and it looks like
A squared off version of Tugboat Willie.
It looks like. It looks like an iron, and I don't mean like iron. I mean one of those like a
steaming iron,
steaming irons, but like one of those ones that were so old that it was just a block of iron that you put in the stove.
Yep.
Like it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. I'm just like, you have some of the most interesting and creative architecture based out of necessity on the planet, and you couldn't and somehow you made a more ugly looking ship than the current new American Navy ships.
You want to know what it looked like? It looked like the boat equivalent of a Cybertruck.
Yes, that's it.
It looked
even worse.
Yeah, but even worse.
Yeah, I saw the Lego version of this.
Yeah,
and I was like, huh, that must be just like a simple little transport. Nope. No.
No, it's supposed to be the big boat.
It's supposed to be the big boat. Ugly ass ship. Anyway. Yeah. So they go out into the middle of the ocean, use the machine that can detect vibranium as bait to lure Namor's army in.
And then they use like a supersonic device to like cripple all of Namor's army. Namor starts wrecking some shit.
Yeah.
Atuma and Namora. I don't remember her name.
What did they call them? The stupid blue suits.
Oh my god, I don't remember, but so, it was bad. It was like the Midnight Falcon or the Midnight Phoenix or something.
Some kind of bird.
It was bad.
It looked Egyptian.
It looked Egyptian. It looked like something that could have come out of Moon Knight.
Yeah.
But okay, it was blue and gold.
It was blue and gold, which are the colors of Namor's people. So why would you lean into that color coding if you're fighting them?
And they're basically like Wakandan Iron Man suits, but less cool?
Yeah. She described them as super suits.
Yeah. But they were flying in them.
Yeah.
They're bad. They're bad. They look terrible.
Yeah.
They also, we never actually see them do anything. They fly around. They look like they're about to do something, and then it cuts away.
They their spears as weapons. There's nothing built in.
Yeah.
We don't actually like. She fights the hammerhead guy.
Yeah, Azuma.
She fights the hammerhead guy in her suit.
Yeah.
Which we saw her almost get her ass kicked earlier in the movie. She's now in a super suit, and she's still losing. She hasn't been able to get a good. She gets one good hit on him.
Yeah, and then we never do. We actually see her like finish him.
No,
we don't, because she makes like a cool one-liner, and then it cuts away and never cuts back.
No, because we can't kill anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Because these characters are cool, and we want to use them in the future.
Yeah. Like that's. I think that's one of the things that's bogging down Marvel. Like, there's no big surprises anymore. No one's gonna die. We've seen the formula. We can kind of read it. I don't know exactly what's gonna happen with the what's his name in Quantumania.
Kang the Conqueror. Well, like, Kang. I'm not gonna get into it.
Yeah. Anyway, so they fight. They realize that Namor can breathe through his skin, and if he's too dried out, he's not as strong.
So, Riri. Basically baits Namor into flying after her into the sky. Well, one of their other ships like cloaks itself and flies along with them. She gets a shot in, kind of.
She gets him. She takes him down. She knocks him into the ship. Mm-hmm. There's a microwave in there.
Yeah, Shuri jumps on and goes in the pilot's part and has like a little
fly to the fucking desert. Let's do this.
He starts.
He goes directly for the microwave generator.
Yeah.
It's like there was no like looking around. He just starts, he finds the spot and he starts stabbing it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why? Why? Can he see through?
Yeah. But he wrecks it. They crash in like the edge of the desert where there's water. Like they're on the coast.
Yeah.
He is nowhere to be seen as the ship explodes. Shuri's on the ground, just standing up in the Black Panther suit, and the camera just cuts to him just flying over, just punching her into the ground from above. And it does that a couple times. This scene really showcases just how fucking powerful he is.
Yeah.
Like, he is a powerhouse. He's a tank.
There's a great scene where she is able to grab one of the wings on his ankles and yanks
some of the feathers
out, and I wanted like the whole wing to be in her hand, and him just laying like, oh, God, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, but he's got like the three scratches across his face.
Yeah,
she digs claws into like his shoulder blade and shit. It's fine.
Yeah, Here's the thing.
It's not the best action scene I've seen.
It's not the best one-on-one. She gets stabbed in the stomach.
Yeah.
He tries to climb to the water.
I'm not kidding. When she got stabbed in the stomach, it took everything I had not to cheer.
It was like, it was so dead center, too. Yeah. It wasn't like, there's a reason when someone gets shot in the side of their belly, they live. It's because there's not actually that many dangerous stuff there. That went through her spine.
Yep.
And but she walked it off.
Yeah, but it just, like, I almost cheered when she got stabbed. I'm like, please kill off Shuri. Please kill off Shuri and just have a clean slate.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I don't like the character of Shuri, so I almost booed when she drank the flower thing.
Yeah.
I almost cheered when she should have died.
I just wanted more Ironheart.
I wanted more Ironheart, too.
Yeah.
I wanted more Ironheart, and I wanted more Nakia.
Yes.
And I wanted more M'Baku.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, she's about to kill him. He's drying up. She has a hole in her stomach and is fine. She has a near-death vision of her mother basically saying, I forget what she says, don't do it.
There's some more weird cuts to like things that we saw in the movie earlier.
Yeah.
Like some reversal shot, like shots in reverse. It's weird.
We go back to she says, I will let you live. I will provide protection for you so you don't get found.
Oh, we didn't talk about the fact that she literally, like, burned his back with the
fucking... Oh, that was so... That was a good shot.
One part of this climax that I actually enjoyed.
So he's doing his monologue. He's standing in front of her, and she doesn't. I don't know if what her one liner was, but she presses a button on.
She said Wakanda forever.
Oh yeah, she said Wakanda forever.
Presses a button, and the engines that are
the damaged ship
just go full burn. She and just sear the fucking back skin off of
the
back.
She there's a great image of the mask going up across her face as flames start to whip across her. No, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
There's a couple aspects of this fight that I enjoyed. I enjoyed when Namor was just beating the shit out of her at first.
Mm.
I enjoyed when she tore the feathers off.
Yes.
I enjoyed when he started beating her up a little bit more, and then she finally released that energy, and it like blew part of like a spire up.
Yeah,
that was a cool shot.
Yeah,
there's nothing special about it though.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, "I yield. Just protect my people. Don't do anything. We won't do anything. She flies back with him to the boat.
And they're standing on one of those dragon flycopter things.
Yeah, well, here's the thing that bugged me. His two sergeants.
Yeah.
The one with the lionfish mane and the
one with the hammerhead shark. That one's a Tuma.
They're both back on the ship.
Yeah, even though we saw them both get knocked off.
Yeah. And they're pointing spears at everyone and everyone else, all of the Wakandans.
Yeah, that was cornered. Her name. Her name is Namora.
Okay.
It's a comics book thing.
I get it. I know. I wanted this movie to be good. I wanted to like it.
Here's the thing. I do like it. I think less than every other Phase 4 movie. I like Eternals more than this.
Really?
I think so.
No. No, Eternals had character problems.
It did.
I would rank...
It had performance problems. This is better than Eternals. It
had the characters down. It really had the characters down.
It had the performances down.
It had the...
I still don't think it had Shuri's character down.
No. No, I don't know what they were doing. I still don't... Like, she didn't know what she was doing.
I still don't know where she's going with this. By the way, her character development in this movie is the exact same as the character development in Civil War for T'Challa.
Yeah. Old beats. Shit.
Basically, everybody goes home. Everybody's fine. Namora asks Namor why the fuck he yielded. And he's like, well, now, like, the world's going to come after Wakanda and they're going to ask for our help.
Yeah.
And then
I'll get my big war after all. Yay. Yeah. What's his name?
M'Baku decides to challenge for the role of king of Wakanda because Shuri doesn't go.
Yeah.
We never see how that ends up. I'm so excited for King M'Baku.
He's going to be... I'm so excited. The next time we see him, he's just going to have his like head in his hands being like, I regret all of my decisions.
I regret everything that I have done.
If I have to deal with one more petty stupidness...
I have to deal with the dude that has the gauge in his... lip one more fucking time, or the woman who has shit for hair. Did you notice that?
Clay hair. Yeah.
Was it clay?
Yeah.
It looked like red poop.
It was a little bit.
It was rough.
It was like they didn't actually use clay.
Yeah. It looked like they used rubber, like almost like rubber that you would see for like a radiator hose on a car, painted it red and put imperfections in it.
Yeah, they couldn't have just got a natural clay.
Had her hair.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's king now.
Allegedly. Shuri goes to, Okoye and Annika go and bust Martin Freeman out of, the prison truck.
Yeah. What he had a quip about her costume, and she was like, I know, I hate it too.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
I was at that point just like, oh, yay, more Martin Freeman.
Yeah. No, they have amazing chemistry.
They do. Because she lands and she's just like...
Oh, that's right.
Colonialist in chains. The colonist in chains. Now I have seen everything.
He's just like, yeah.
Just like, yeah, just take me with you.
Yep.
And,
so
yeah, and then we see Shuri go and take Nakia up on her offer to go to Haiti and
live with him,
live with her, and grieve for a little bit. And she goes out and burns the mourning garb and cries as we get a montage of Chadwick Boseman in previous movies, just smiling and
being
Chadwick.
Awesome. Yeah. And then we see the kid.
The credits roll, and then mid-credits, Nakia introduces Prince T'Challa, son of King T'Challa.
Yeah.
And cute kid. Yeah. Sold his lines.
Yeah.
Looked kind of like a son of Chadwick Boseman.
Fun, like, okay, so...
That's the movie.
The big character with her, with the princess, is... The big problem I have is this entire movie is her figuring out who she is, but we don't get that.
No,
we don't get a resolution to
that. No, because it's left so open-ended that it's all, like, the character almost doesn't grow.
We see, okay, in the grieving process, we see the beginning of acceptance.
Yeah.
But there's another process after that, which is recovery.
Yeah.
And we don't see that.
No.
And we don't see who she is.
And... The thing is, like, there was barely a character here to begin with, other than she's kind of the goofball genius sister of the king.
Yeah.
And then was there as kind of a plot device for Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
Showed up for a second in Endgame for the whole A-team thing.
Yeah.
Fine. And then we come to this, and all of a sudden she's a main character, and what do we do with her? Let's make her angsty. Retread everything that we did with T'Challa in Civil War with Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And then end it without her actually have gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, leave it open-ended for the next time so we have more time to figure out what kind of character she is.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
Granted, I'm not a huge fan of the character of Shuri anyway.
Yeah.
And, like, it just... I don't know. It's I can't like her as a protagonist, as a character.
Yeah.
There's
not enough there.
This movie, yes, should have had her and the queen grieving, should have had everybody grieving,
mm-hmm.
but it should have been focused on Nakia trying to, like, come to terms with it and then getting drawn back into the fray when Wakanda was under attack and realized T'Challa would want me to take his place. I'm the only one that can do this.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing Riri in Armor Wars.
I am too.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I am too. Is she going to be in Armor Wars?
I feel like she should be.
Maybe.
I hope she is.
Armor Wars is no longer going to be a show. It's going to be a movie.
Good.
I know it's mostly going to be like a roadie store, like, movie.
Okay.
I know they're making an Ironheart Disney Plus series.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to see her in Armor Wars, though. I hope we do.
I do, yeah.
I would love to see her chemistry with Rhodey.
Yeah, just like... So that's your cats.
Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah. No, just like, I want to see the, I built the, he built it in a desert. I built this in a junkyard. Where did you get this?
Yeah.
How much did the US military pay to make this?
Well, technically I stole it from Tony and then the government kept giving it back to me. She's like,
I made the,
gotcha.
That left arm, maybe $35 total in scrap metal.
Yeah. And it can do this. And she just raises the cannon arm. She's like, you got two of those things on your back and I can do that with $35. Cool. Good to know. But no, yeah, I mean, we've talked about how both of us are a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
We don't like it as much as we feel like we should.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I don't think it necessarily deserves liking it more.
It's
a good sequel considering what they had to deal with.
Yeah.
Because obviously an actor dying, especially the main character, the main actor passing away, throws a big fucking wrench in the gears.
Yeah.
And I get they had to put a movie out in this slot. They wanted to put this movie out.
Mm-hmm.
Set up Namor's character and all that. They threw Riri in, which I don't know if that was originally supposed to be there, or if they threw that in after. Like, we don't know.
Okay. Do you want to speculate?
Yeah, let's all speculate.
Right. If I'm going to speculate here, I think that Ironheart was going to have a much bigger role to play in this.
I don't think she was supposed to be in it at all until the rewrites.
Okay, maybe.
Because they wanted to add something, like another dynamic into it, because they didn't have T'Challa.
Yeah, no, that's...
I can see where you're coming from. I think she had the perfect size role in this movie. It could have seen more of her.
Mm-hmm.
But as an introduction to the character, it was a great introduction.
Yes, it was.
I loved everything that they did with her, other than the look of the final suit, which has nothing to do with the character.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a bad design.
There was, like, one thing that I would have added is I wanted, like, when they came to meet her at at MIT.
Yeah.
For her to be like, okay, and then, like, overload a battery or something, like, cause, like, a little bit of a distraction.
Yeah. But I like the idea of, like, no, she's got her shop for all of her experiments and stuff.
Yeah.
Her dorm room is just for her, like, like, just for sleeping.
Yeah.
I kind of like that she didn't have anything, like, too high-tech in there,
because
that almost would have felt a little, like, it wouldn't have felt out of place, but it would have...
That's kind of what I mean, like, I mean, low-tech...
Yeah,
solutions.
But, I don't know. I'm trying to come to terms with the fact that I didn't care for this all that much. Like, I was extremely, like, stoic and quiet for the last, like, 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And after the credits rolled, you looked at it and you're like, are you good? Are you crying? Because of the, like, Chadwick montage?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm processing because I don't know how to feel about this. I still don't.
Yeah.
Like, every fiber of my being says that this should be a pretty good movie. Like, this should be a great addition to the Marvel
pantheon. Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it feels off.
It felt slow.
It felt slow. We've talked about that. But other than it just being slow, like, it felt off.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't hit the right way.
Right.
And I don't know if that has to do with the protagonist being not all that much of a character.
Yeah, like they
I
were
feel like it might.
I feel like she was probably the least well written.
Yeah,
in this,
like that's the thing. They could have had Nakia take up the mantle.
Mm.
Okoye, I wouldn't want to take up the mantle because I love Okoye the way she is.
Yeah,
I hate the fact that she got stripped of her title and then just had a weird blue and gold suit at the end because that sucked.
Yeah.
M'Baku taking up the mantle. At least for a film.
Yes.
Would have been cool.
Yeah.
Honestly, getting through the entire movie without having a Black Panther at the end and showing this is what Wakanda can do when it,
like, yeah, no, completely that works cool. together. Like,
that's where I initially thought it was going until the trailer showed it. No, there's a new Black Panther.
Yeah.
I just... Something's off here. I can't put my finger on it. Yes, we talked about some of the issues that we do have.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on what the big problem I have with it is. I think it's just a combination of all the little things.
Yeah, and that's
usually what gets it. But I feel like it's something bigger. Like, I feel like I don't like it for a bigger reason. I don't know what it is.
I think all the little things tie together to feel like a bigger reason that you can't quite place your finger on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I feel bad. This is the first thing from Marvel that we've actually reviewed that we didn't love, other than Eternals, but I feel like we were still relatively fair with Eternals.
Eternals was what it was.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was also, like, Eternals was starting from nothing.
Should have been a Disney Plus show to set up the characters and all the backstory, and then the movie should have been the movie.
Yeah.
And we can't go back to Eternals. We're just gonna start screaming again. So, let's talk about some accolades.
Okay.
Let's sit down and talk about the good. Because there is a lot of good.
There's a lot of good.
Because there is so much good, and because the rest of the movie kind of faltered a little bit, I'm going to allow multiple different entries from each of us.
All right.
I'm going to save standout performance to last.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite shot? I'm going to be honest, I didn't think the cinematography in this movie was anything too special.
Not really.
Usually I have a shot that I'm like, nope, that's the money shot of this movie.
Yeah.
And in this, it's...
I guess when the flames go up, when she's dreamwalking?
Dreamwalking is Doctor Strange. This is just...
Yeah, this is...
This is just tripping on a flower.
What did they call it, though?
Ancestral plane.
When she went to the ancestral plane and the flames went up.
Yeah.
That was a good shot.
Yeah, that's my favorite scene.
Okay.
That actually, I have two favorite scenes.
I mean, we have, I'm...
But like, yeah, that's
probably... limiting ourselves to one thing.
We're not limiting ourselves to one thing.
Okay, again, not... shot, yeah, no, never mind. Shot is difficult with this one.
This one, it just didn't have a lot of special shots. It felt like a lot more work went into the, like, trying to get the emotional beats to work than trying to film it in a, like,
extremely... interesting way.
Interesting way, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably a shot somewhere of Namor just looking like a badass.
In the teeth chair.
Yep. The chair with the sun behind him. Chanting "Rise, Telokan."
Yeah,
with the serpent headdress. That's an amazing shot.
The trailer moment. Yeah,
was that in the trailer?
That was in the trailer.
I never saw that in the trailer.
Him descending down into the shark chair. That was in the trailer.
Which trailer?
I don't know. The one that was playing everywhere.
I never saw that one.
Okay.
Yeah. But that and probably M'Baku's chest piece getting
demolished.
That just one shot where the slow-mo was holding there for a while was...
Yeah.
Like,
also, he's such a... you can always tell the good actors when they can act and when you can watch them in slow motion. And, like, all of the confidence going away with his breath.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Which was audible.
Yeah.
Was as audible as the crunching of the wood.
Yeah.
And the bending of the vibranium by just a fist.
Yeah.
But, all right. Favorite scene, I have two.
Mm-hmm.
The throne room scene with the queen stripping Okoye of her title. Well, I'm not a huge fan of that. The performance that Angela Bassett gives.
Oh, yes.
Is enough to give me maybe not best performance in the movie, but it's going to give him one of my best scenes.
Remarkable she doesn't have an Oscar yet.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, when the first trailer for this movie dropped, I literally texted you and Zeev, and I was like, Angela Bassett, Oscar nomination incoming?
Hopefully.
But that, because of that performance, is one of my favorite scenes. The other one is the scene with Shuri and Killmonger in the ancestral plane in the throne room as the flames go up.
Yeah.
Letitia Wright did a phenomenal job acting in this movie. The character was not there for me.
Okay.
Michael B. Jordan is always absolutely amazing, and I want more of him as Killmonger.
Yeah.
And I really, really hope that Marvel's not done with him.
I mean, there's a multitude of universes now, and he really loved the character.
Oh, yeah.
So...
and you can tell, the fact that he came back for 3 minutes of a role and gave it that much.
Yeah.
It's like, he has to have loved that.
I mean, we've already seen the live-action Captain Carter. So, maybe he's coming back there?
I would love for Killmonger to come back and actually be, like, a main character.
Yeah. Or at least just, like, just show up again.
Do you have any other favorite scenes?
Not really.
No?
No. I guess the city exploding, but that was, like, again,
What about the flashback for Namor's backstory? Anything there?
It was solid. Yeah. It was well shot. I don't, like, that's the problem. Like, this
movie is kind of, for Marvel, mediocre.
It's good.
It's adequate.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame.
It feels weird. Weird not liking it.
Yeah.
But, all right. The part that we're actually going to have answers for.
Yeah, standout performance.
Standout performance.
Yeah.
I have three.
Figured you would. Go ahead.
All right. I'll tell you my number one last.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is Dominique Thorne as Riri Williams.
Yes. No, she's...
I loved her dynamic with every single person she talked to in the movie.
Yeah.
The performance was amazing. The way she was just spitting out lines while she was torching her work in the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
With just the propane thing and then just chucking it in and was just like mumbling out like, I can't believe this is fucking happening to me.
Yeah.
Was brilliant. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Number two is Angela Bassett.
Yes.
Because, first of all, she's never bad.
Yeah.
She's always phenomenal. But she gave everything she had mm-hmm. in this movie and then some.
Yes.
And just good job. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very, very impressed.
Yeah.
My number one,
mm-hmm.
Winston Duke.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good. I wouldn't say best. I have to give it to what's the name? The guard. What's her name?
Okoye.
Okoye.
Danai Gurira.
I have to give it to Danai Gurira for like my top.
Yeah.
Followed
She'd be very, very close underneath Dominique Thorne for me. I can't do more than top three because then I'm just going to start shouting everybody's name.
Okay.
Honorable mention to Danai Gurira for me. Honorable mention to Tanakh Huerta.
Yes.
As Namor because this interpretation of Namor is perfect.
Here's the thing. Like, I get like why you like him. I never liked Namor in the comics. He was just too much of an asshole.
Yeah, but that's why I like this version.
Yes, I know.
I never liked Namor in the comics either. I thought he was an awesome character.
Mm.
I always thought that he was too much of a dick.
Yeah.
But I love this version of the character. Okay. His plans had issues.
Yes.
That's plot, not character.
Yeah, okay.
The character was fantastic. The performance was amazing. The way that they brought him from just egomaniacal prick to righteous... like God complex.
Yes.
Works so well for the character, bringing it into the more like Central American
mm-hmm.
Theme. It works.
Yeah.
But Winston Duke for me, just in literally just the last half of the movie, just sold it for me.
Yeah. Oh, he was very good.
He was so good. I would give it to Michael B. Jordan if there was more of him.
Mm-hmm.
Considering there's only 3 minutes of him or so, I can't.
Yeah.
And I wish I could.
Well, yeah.
But no, I completely agree with you that Danai Gurira was amazing in this.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say her number one, Duke number two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's close one for me because it's either between Namor and Ironheart. Like, yeah. It's a tough choice. They're both like everyone's good in this except for the lead.
But the acting is good.
The acting is good.
The performance is extremely solid.
The writing is
it's,
for her.
It's not. Letitia Wright is not the best performance in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not. But it's still a very good performance.
Yes.
It's just the character did not have enough there for us to feel connected to.
Yeah.
And it ended without
any resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just. Because literally it ends with no resolution with her, and then it's setting up a new T'Challa.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, so this is literally just like, this is the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because now we're going to have like a like 7-year time jump, and he's going to be like a 14-year-old Black Panther. Gotcha.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
It is what it is.
Whatever. All right. I think I'm ready to call this one.
Yeah. Do you have any anything you'd like to rec real quick?
I'm trying to think.
I'm going
to
keep doing it every week until the season's over, but Andor?
I haven't watched the most recent episode. I know there's a prison break. I've been avoiding spoilers. All I know is like one line, and I'm not going to say it here. I'm going to watch it probably tomorrow with my family. I've been watching it with my family. We've been doing some bullshit with the fucking kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I just say what I sent you yesterday?
Yes.
It's no spoilers.
Okay.
Andy Serkis, in this most recent episode, gives the fucking performance of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this might be one of my favorite performances he's ever done. Nice. Like, just in, like, the span of 15 minutes. And then the episode almost ends after it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really get any resolution with what happens to him. It's very ambiguous, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it immediately turns to Stellan Skarsgård, just hauntingly good.
Oh, cool.
Like, I've never seen Stellan Skarsgård, yell at somebody.
Oh.
It's scary. Oh, my God. After you watch it, immediately text me. Because I want to talk about the dichotomy of these two performances.
Okay.
It literally blew my mind that this is a Disney Star Wars production. I can't wrap my head around it.
The Skarsgård family is one of those acting dynasties that I'm not like annoyed about.
Yeah.
Like there's no,
they're all amazing. Yeah. Bill is always amazing.
Yeah.
Alexander, always amazing. Uh-huh. Stellan is perfect.
Yeah.
In every role.
Did you have you seen that? It's a series of pictures from the set of It Chapter 2.
Bill Skarsgård showed me those after we reviewed Eternals.
Yeah,
because he voiced Crow, and I'm getting back on it, and I'm mad.
We're gonna call it there.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this more than we did.
Yeah,
it
was good. It's fine. I want it to be. It's a shame. It's still a
Marvel movie.
That's how I'm ranking it. It's a shame.
We're ranking it on a curve anyway.
It's still good.
It's good. It's
very much a sequel.
Yeah, but it's also a sequel that doesn't have the original lead for obvious reasons, which drags it down a bit. Because it can't get out of its own way with trying to pay him respect.
Right.
Which
I'm fine with, but they did.
But they also couldn't get out of their own way doing so and kind of drag things on too much.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
You know what it is? You know what it is? The entire movie is under his shadow.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's,
The reason it didn't work as well is because we don't have him, and they spent too much time reminding us that we don't have him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week to resume our 90s November disasters.
What are we doing next week?
Next week is Deep Impact, which is a movie I have never seen.
Cool. I'm going to feel things. Okay. You will likely feel things too.
Good things, bad things?
It just knows how to pull out the heartstrings.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
And then after that, wrapping up with Dante's Peak. And Yay. Then we're heading into the holiday season where we got some stuff for you.
Yay. Yay for a couple of them. I'm okay with the Christmas decision. I am now feeling the regrets. Zeev is making good on his promise.
No, Zeev is angrily making good on his promise.
Yeah, like if we are watching this. Yeah.
Well, because you basically did a hate crime and said let's watch Eight Crazy Nights with a Jewish man.
He's forgiven me. To the extent that a human being can forgive. Yeah.
But then on top of that, I found
you fucked up.
No, this one is not Eight Crazy Nights, though.
No, this is not Eight Crazy Nights, but it could be.
They're shoehorning Hanukkah themes into a Hallmark movie, and we want to see how bad it is.
It's going to be the first Hallmark movie where both of the leads are Jewish instead of one of them being Christian and one of them being Jewish, and the entire point of it is look at this weird thing that isn't Christmas.
And also we want to see how much of it was literally taken, like verbatim, and just replacing the word Christmas with Hanukkah.
And the word bagel with pastry.
Yes. Or pastry with bagel.
Because
usually it's a bakery.
Yeah.
And now it's a bagel shop.
Deli. They're deli. Two competing delis from across the street, and they're going to find love on through Hanukkah.
This is my fault.
Yes.
And this is also the reason we're not doing Pompeii until next year.
Yay.
It's coming.
God, I know.
It's coming.
I don't want it to. It looks boring. I don't.
It gets worse than boring.
That's not high praise. Is it fun? Bad? That's not an answer. But I want to hear.
It's the kind of movie that we can scream about.
I'm going to like have to pause every 15 minutes to hype myself up again.
Kit Harington gives the worst performance ever because I think he knew how bad the movie was going to be and just reined it the fuck in the whole time.
Okay. Alrighty. That's going to be it.
Thank you, guys. Follow us on Twitter. No more Twitter. Twitter is dead.
Yeah. Slowly rotting. Twitter is dead.
Follow us on Instagram. You can join our Discord. I'm tired and head gin.
It's fine.
Also, follow links in the description for our website. There you can find all of our previous episodes. Share them with your friends. Help get the word out so we can help grow this podcast. Mm. We'd really appreciate it. Also, just leave us a written review. Wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Please do. It's the best way we can get the publishing companies to notice us. Not the publishing companies.
Advertising?
The advertising companies to notice us.
Yeah.
Notice us, advertising senpai.
God! We're done.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
I'm in pain.
Bye.